night he'll only break my heart again should I decide to stay. So little snowbird, take me with you when you go to that land of gentle breezes where the peaceful waters flow. Spread your tiny wings and fly away, and take the snow back with you where it came from on that day. What I love forever is untrue, and if I could, you know that I would fly away with you.
In 2009, Anne released her revealing and entertaining autobiography entitled All of Me, in which she writes about the highlights and defining moments in her life and music career. In 2007, she released an album called Duets, Friends, and Legends, on which she sings 17 of her biggest songs as duets. The list of singing partners on the album includes Martina McBride, Shania Twain, Jan Arden, and Anne's daughter, Dawn Langstroth. I've got a couple of songs from that album to share on the show today. And now it's my great pleasure to welcome Anne Murray to the show. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Dave.
It is so great to have you here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, your book that you wrote back in 2009, so many great stories in it. I want to talk about the writing of that book and how it felt to share so many of the moments in your life. But let's start with a great story. The song You Needed Me went on to win a Grammy for your performance of it, written by Randy Goodrum. This is going back to 1978. And this shows how good of an ear you have for a song. It was going to be the B-side of the planned single at that time called Let's Keep It That Way. And you actually went to see the CEO of Capitol Records to say he would be making a mistake.
Yes, actually, they had already started the presses on the other side, and I felt I knew that You Needed Me was a hit. I just knew it. And because when we were in the studio recording, to a person in the studio and in the control room, everyone just went, oh, my goodness,
right,
this is just a great song. And everybody felt it. So I knew, or at least I felt I knew deep down that it was going to be magic. But I had to convince a few people because it was a ballad, and ballads are tough for
right.
radio. They're really tough. And so anyway, we gave it a go, and they worked it very hard. The record company worked very hard to push it, and they took it to number one.
I cried a tear, you wiped it dry. I was cleared my mind. I sold my soul. You bought it back for me and held me up and gave me dignity. Somehow you needed me. You gave me strength to stand. Out on my own again, you put me high upon a pedestal, so high that I could almost see eternity. You needed me, you needed me, and I can't believe. I needed you, and you were there, and I'll never leave. Why should I leave? I'd be a fool, 'cause I finally found someone who really cares.
it doesn't happen all that often in the studio where you all look at each other and shake your heads and go, uh-huh. And that magic moment might have happened three times to me in the studio, and one was with Snowbird, and that was before I even knew anything. But I had a feeling about that too, but that was so long ago, and that was the first one, so you don't know that if your feelings are right or wrong.
Now, the book, Anne Murray, All of Me, This Is Your Life Story, and I mean it includes the great times and the struggles as well. Was it hard when you sat down to write it? I mean, you've got to remember a lot of detail, first of all, but also sharing the good and the not so good.
Well, I don't think that my heart was in it. I don't think I really wanted to do it because I didn't want to travel back down a lot of those roads.
Right.
And but I knew that if I didn't write it, somebody would, and I thought I should be the one to tell the story.
Yeah,
who knows it better? I took that year and just sat down and wrote it. And there were a lot of roads I wish I hadn't revisited. But in the end, it was very satisfying. I kind of faced up to a whole bunch of things that I had put. I had swept under the carpet, you know, at one time. And so in that sense, I guess it was cathartic, as many people say that their books are cathartic. Well, I guess this was to a certain extent. I was very careful not to write stories that would hurt anybody that wasn't the kind of book it was.
Right.
I mean, I wasn't about to do a hatchet job on people, that's for sure. It's easy to tell the story without doing that. So, but I had my ups and downs like everybody, and I told them. It was a very candid book.
Definitely, and I'll encourage our listeners to pick up this book. They can find out more details at annemurray.com. And another great story was from the Urban Cowboy soundtrack, of course, the great song, Could I Have This Dance, that we all love. It was originally planned to be a duet with Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, we tried to get in touch with Kenny Rogers, and I went in and put the song down with the lead vocal. I was just a guide, and it was very low. And so I put the top part in, and then we sent it off just as a demo for Kenny. And I don't know whether it never got to him, whether he didn't want to do it, whether he didn't have time, or I don't know what happened. But in any case, the record company heard it and said, well, we like it just the way it is. And I went, well, wait a second, that wasn't a final vocal. It was too low. The song was too low. Anyway, they released it like that.
Kept it like that. Amazing. And then, of course, years later, you did go on to record a duet with Kenny Rogers, a lovely song called If I Ever Fall in Love Again. How did it feel to finally have that duet out with Kenny?
Well, at that time, and I always tease Kenny saying, I'm the only woman left in the music business you haven't sung with. So it's time. You did a duet with me. So he was shamed into doing a duet with me. He owed it to me.
You, I know you're everything that I've been looking for. I look into your eyes and could not ask for more. So it's only fair to lay it on the line. Hold on, I'm gonna need a little time. But if I ever fall in love, I ever fall in love again.
And as we were talking just before we came on the air, we both love Kenny's voice. It is just so magical.
Yeah, he's a great singer, and it's the quality of his voice too that's he's a kind of a male version of Dusty Springfield, who had that sensual or sensuous or whatever it is voice, and he has that sound too.
The duets, Friends and Legends, it's got 17 of your songs, and this just came out several years ago, and you're doing duets of the big songs, Danny's Song. We've got Shania Twain on here with You Needed Me, along with you, of course, and Amy Grant does Could I Have This Dance With You on the album. We're going to play a song, and I'll let you talk about it for a moment here before we play, but Nobody Loves Me Like You Do, and you're singing on the album with your daughter, Dawn Langstroth, originally sung with Dave Loggins.
That this song, my daughter Dawn worked very hard with me alongside of me doing this duets album. We put together all the demos to be sent to the various artists. You know, a love song, we put together a demo and sent it to Katie Lang and to Shania and to everybody. And we just sent MP3s via the computer to everybody. And just Dawn sang the other part. The part that all the other girls would be singing.
Sure.
And so she was a great help to me doing that whole album, and she also did this this duet with me, which is one of my favorites, and it seems to be a lot of people's favorites on the album.
Such a beautiful song. Let's share it now so people can hear this. This is Ann Murray and Dawn Langstroth, Nobody Loves Me Like You Do, here on In the Country.
Like a candle burning bright, love is glowing in your eyes, a flame to light our way that burns brighter every day. Now I nobody loves me like you do. Like a leaf upon the wind, I could find no place to live. Every day, do dreams come true? Nobody loves me like you do. What if I never met you? Where would I be right now? Funny how life just falls in place. Dancer out of time.
And that is my guest, Anne Murray, along with her daughter, Dawn Langstroth. The song is Nobody Loves Me Like You Do. It's found on the Duets Friends and Legends album that you can head to iTunes, your local record store. More details at annemurray.com. Her autobiography, which is a great read, I'd recommend it. It's called All of Me. Brian Adams, Canadian legend, worldwide legend, he ended up writing a song for you. And I remember seeing this on either a special of yours or one of the award shows. But what would it take? And the two of you sang this together. How did that feel?
I mean, I've known Brian for a long time, and to have him write a song, it was great. I mean, and to actually have him come, and he wrote the song for me, but he wasn't intending to sing on it, but he did eventually come and sing, and we performed it for a television show that I did, a television special. We did a live show, so he was there. It was great.
Now, of course, earlier in your career, you were on Glenn Campbell's show and did many duets with him. What was it like working with the great Glenn Campbell?
There was nothing better than working with Glenn, than singing with Glenn. He was just the greatest singer. I always said that Glenn Campbell could sing an Italian aria. He could sing anything.
Sure.
And so for me to be able to sing with him and for him to kind of take me under his wing as he did, and I opened for him in Las Vegas. I opened for him in Reno, Lake Tahoe. He took me on a European tour where I opened for him, and he was a great supporter of mine and really got me off on the right foot in those early days, and I don't know how I'll ever be able to thank him for all that he did for me in those early days.
Now, another part I found interesting in the book reading about was there was a point in your career where you had a chance to take up acting.
I did a few, I don't know what you call them. I didn't really do the casting thing, but I talked to the director and I talked to this. But you know what? My heart wasn't in it. I really wasn't interested in getting involved in acting. A lot of the people around me thought it would be great if I did that, but by the time I was thinking about it, I was having children,
and I
couldn't entertain the thought of getting involved in something else. I was already too busy.
Yes.
And when I do something, I have to do it right, and I would have been just have to jump in 100%, and I couldn't do that. So, in hindsight, I'm really glad I didn't, because I was away from home enough.
There you go. It's quite a tough balance, and as you mentioned that in the book, there is that struggle between your career and obviously a home life and a family life.
Yes, that it was. There were a lot of compromises and a lot of sacrifices made, both by my family and by me, and it was never easy, and the guilt never goes away.
Back in 1993, the album Croonin', this is one of your favorite albums to record,
yes.
I was reading. Songs by Eddie Arnold, Doris Day, Perry Como. So this got you, gave you the chance to sing songs that you really love.
Well, this was an album that I did without the backing of the record company, because I really believed in it. It was something. It was important to me. These were the songs that I grew up on. All those songs in the 1950s, and I grew up admiring Doris Day and Patti Page and Peggy Lee and the other people that you mentioned, and so for me to do this was just a thrill, and it's still one of my favorites because it's so near and dear to me.
Yeah, it's a great one. And do you have a favorite song that, I know you're not singing as much these days, but one that you love to sing the most, maybe one that moved you the most?
Well, there are a lot of songs. You Needed Me, it might just be my favorite, but it certainly would be among my top five favorites.
Right.
But there are a lot of songs that I love to sing. There's a song called Song for the Myra, which is in a beautiful song that I sang in most of my live shows, certainly the last 10 to 15 years, and it really touches people, that song.
Now, not musically related, but in the comedic scene, I was fascinated to read that you were in early on in Jerry Seinfeld's career.
Well, yeah, I saw Jerry on his first appearance on The Tonight Show.
Right.
And I called my agent, because at that time I was playing Vegas and Reno and Tahoe and those places, and we always had an opening act. And I called my agent and I said, we got to get this guy. He makes me laugh so hard. I just got such a kick out of him. So Jerry opened me for me.
Right.
In those early years, he opened for me. It was like, I don't know, over a period of a couple of years, and he kind of became part of my family. He hung around with the guys in the band, and Jerry
That's
was
great.
There in those, I guess it would be early 80s.
Now, there's a story in the book, I thought it was great, about Loretta Lynn. I guess you and her struck up a friendship over the years.
Well, yes, and she was one of the first people I ever met when I went to Nashville. And she kind of took me under her wing, because I felt like a fish out of water. Being a Canadian and walking into Nashville, it's kind of, I always thought of it as kind of a closed shop. And she was so kind to me. And she knew that I didn't feel comfortable, and I was young. And so she was kind to me. And I met her and worked with her on several occasions. And she was a very wise lady.
I want to turn back to Duets, Friends, and Legends, your album featuring 17 of your songs with different singing partners. We're going to play the song you sing with Jan Arden. This was your hit from 1982, written by Bob McDill, who, of course, has written a bunch of big songs for Don Williams, Dan Seals, Alabama, to name a few. The song is Somebody's Always Saying Goodbye. It's a great song. Before we play it, you can tell us a bit about the song, but also about Jan Arden. I know the two of you are friends, and she's quite a comedian herself.
Oh, yeah, she's great fun to be around. Yes, I actually invited her to come on to the album, and I gave her a couple of songs, and she chose this one, and I thought it was a good choice for her. I think our voices work very well together.
They do, and it's such a moving song, too. I remember hearing it back in the day, and it's just a very sad song.
Yeah, it's a tearjerker, all right.
It is. Let's share it now. This is Ann Murray and Jan Arden with Somebody's Always Saying Goodbye on In the Country.
Got that way, but
But every place you look these days, somebody's always saying goodbye.
Can you tell us a bit about Massey Hall, just the magic of performing there all those times you did, Anne?
Well, I have performed there many times. It's so funny because it's a wonderful old hall, and it's all wood, and the sound just is fantastic in there. However, it does have some sightline problems, and the funniest part was that the last time I played there, I had friends who went, and I have one friend who came, but she said she didn't see me all night.
Oh, no.
She was behind a post.
Oh, my goodness.
And there are some posts at Massey Hall in Toronto that do get in the way. She was really mad at me because my office got her the tickets.
Right.
That was the first stage I played on. Well, not the first stage, but
right.
The first concert hall I played on in Toronto.
And it has been such a pleasure. I can't believe 30 minutes has flown by so quickly. Got a couple of songs in, got some great stories, but of course the book, All of Me, is full of so many more great stories. And your website, annemurray.com, our listeners can check out a lot of your songs over the years and get albums from there as well. Thanks so much for taking the time, Anne. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you, Dave. Likewise.
I'm Dave Woods. It's been another big night in the country.